Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's the originals. It's like time has stood still. It's like back to episode 3, but much better, more polished, and a lot of miles traveled between here and there. So, fellas, here we go. It doesn't happen too often, but it's good when it does. It's the original 3, and I don't know how full this episode is going to be. It's going to have a lot of stuff, but I don't know if it's got the punch without certain individuals, Bradford, Chris, the Phantom, but we'll make it happen. So we're going to change up the format a little bit this week. We're going to start with our buddy, Chris, who couldn't make it tonight. He's cooking with Chris segment. And Thomas, give us a nice lead in.
All right. Cooking with Chris is brought to you by the book Loving Elliot, a fitting tribute to undying love, written by our very own Andy Clark. Available on Amazon.com. Elliot was the oldest special needs Jack Russell Terrier when he passed at age 21.
This is all true. True stories. So I'm going to drop that in right here. So let's start talking about a major passing in the professional wrestling world this week. One of my all-time favorites, Kevin Sullivan. Boston guy, what a life. I mean, psychology 101 for wrestling. Let me tell you that my entry to Kevin Sullivan was maybe 8 years old. I want to say early 82, 83, around there. Bought the wrestling magazines. We're not talking about WWF magazines. We're talking Pro Wrestling Illustrated. We're talking Inside Wrestling. I saw Kevin Sullivan for the first time. And man, oh man, was I hooked. I didn't see any of the stuff from Florida until a little later on. But I did get Georgia Championship Wrestling at the time. Jim Crockett Promotions a little while after that. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe how, when it was kayfabe, how much of a villain character Kevin Sullivan was with the whole, what was it, devil worship, you know, the snake before Jake the Snake, you know, slapping around the fallen angel who ended up being, you know, Nancy Sullivan, Nancy Benoit. I thought as a kid, she was so hot. You never saw somebody come to the ring dressed like that. Man, I got a chance to meet him, and they say never meet your heroes was absolutely incorrect with him. He must have known that I was like an old school fan. We started talking about angles and stuff I remembered, and asked me where I was from. I told him where I was from in Massachusetts, and man, we just had a connection and we talked for a good, I don't know, want to say 10 minutes. There was hardly no line. The professor met him with me. Couldn't have been nicer. Great, great memories of Kevin Sullivan. Well, I could probably do a whole podcast episode about, you know, how his influence probably created the Undertaker character and all those dark characters after it. When he went to WCW in the late 80s and he was part of the Varsity Club, it wasn't the same. And then the Taskmaster gimmick with, you know, when Hogan got to WCW just wasn't the same. That whole deal with Mark Lewin in the Purple Haze, and it was just out of this world as a, you know, 10, 11 year old kid, just mind blowing stuff. So great memories of Kevin Sullivan. I wish I had more time and could show some videos on here without getting flagged, but great, great stuff. Thomas, thoughts on the passing of Kevin Sullivan?
I got to tell you, when you're a kid watching that shit, he would actually scare you watching it. I mean, you would, like you say, was it, I mean, he played that character perfectly. Like you say, you didn't really know if he was a real devil worshiper. And he's proof that you don't need a heavyweight belt to get over, because he really didn't ever win. I think he won the NWA Florida Championship once, but singles wise, he didn't really win a whole lot of single belts, and he didn't need it. He got over. He was just a great, great wrestler, and he knew how to act with it. But the big thing is that you don't really hear a lot of people talk about is the booking. He was really good booking. I just heard Eric Bischoff say this week after he passed that Kevin Sullivan was a huge reason why they beat WWE in, 82 weeks or 83 straight weeks. So he gave him his flowers. Unfortunately, it was after he passed, but I mean, he's a big part of wrestling.
Ed, thoughts on Kevin Sullivan?
Well, man, for anybody that was out there, to piggyback on what Tom said and to piggyback on what you said, to elicit that emotion as a young kid, he scared the hell out of you. You know, I mean, especially going to a Catholic school and being raised that way. And like, I mean, man, I was like, dude, this dude's like really like the devil, you know? And he elicited that reaction out of you. Like, and it was just, it was so real, you know? And you know, I did a little research on him. I had no idea that he was involved with the Honky Tonk Man back in the day when he was in the territory.
Knoxville.
I had no idea.
Yeah,
I mean,
Jimmy
my mind
Hart.
Was blown.
Yeah. Oh, you know? Yeah, it was with Jimmy Hart and Wayne Ferris, and he was all into bodybuilding at the time. And it wasn't until he came back to Florida in, like, 82. He did a angle that started that devil gimmick turn where he had been tag team champions with Mike Graham in the 70s, left, did, like, a Memphis run. He did a Georgia championship wrestling run like around 1980. But when he got back around like late 82, you can go back and watch everything in clips now on YouTube. It's fantastic. He showed up and, starts complaining to Mike Graham there was a tournament for one of the titles. I'm not sure if it was the Southern title or the Florida one of them. And he lost to Barry Windham. And he starts freaking out and blaming like Mike Graham and everything like that. And he busts Mike Graham open at the podium with Gordon Solie. And like every week after that, Mike Graham's like, this isn't the Kevin Sullivan that I remember when he left and we were buddies and whatever. And they actually filmed a video of Steve Kern previous to Kevin Sullivan showing up back in Florida after being gone for like 4 years. Of Steve Kern warning them that he's not the same guy, but he still looked the same. But every week he turned, they did it so good, like that slow build. Like every week he was a little bit more like different, like wacky, like slow heel turn until that full, like, you know.
With a ton of blow at the end of it. Yeah.
But one of the best interviews that I can remember him giving out of character when they were doing the shoot thing and, you know, when everybody was starting to learn about, you know, the inside of wrestling stuff. He said when Mark Lewin got there, which is another great character, when he got there, he said to Kevin Sullivan, do you want to do this correct? And Kevin Sullivan's like, yeah. And he goes, of course I want to do it correct. He goes, everywhere we go, we're wearing those ropes. He goes, everywhere we go. So he said they would be like at 3 o'clock in the morning, leaving like one show, driving home in Florida. He'd have the purple robe on. Kevin Sullivan would have the black robe on in the car. And if they got pulled over, they stayed in character. If they went to eat, they stayed in character when the waiter came. So just imagine that. You're in a restaurant, Waffle House or whatever. And here comes the girl at 3 o'clock in the morning. These two bananas are dressed like that. And, you know, one guy's like swaying in the chair, asking for, bacon and eggs. Fantastic, dude. They just don't make that stuff like that anymore. Like Tom said, less is more, scare the shit out of people, blur that line between reality and fiction. And funny story about Kevin Sullivan before we move on. Kevin Sullivan had to let Hulk Hogan sleep at his house the night before the NWO turn because they were so worried that Hogan was not going to do it, that he had to sleep at Kevin Sullivan's house the night before Bash at the Beach just so that he could promise Hogan nothing was going to happen. You're going to turn heel. And he had to stay at Kevin Sullivan's house so nobody else would influence him not to turn. Isn't that a crazy story?
That's a crazy story, man.
The man. You know, Kevin Sullivan, like I said before, and not to cut off Ed, there would be no Undertaker without Kevin Sullivan.
I agree 100%.
And
I agree 100%. And to know that he booked the way that he booked to push WCW over WWE, which was WWF at the time, and to know that he did that and to know how good of a booker he was. But, man, even to this day, it's like, man, he really just – even, like, you know, man, I'm old, and I think back to it. Man, that dude scared the hell out of me when I was, like, 8, 9, 10, 11. Like, you know, when I first started really getting into wrestling, man, I'd stay up in on the Zenith TV on the floor in the bedroom that, you know, that I'm probably radioactive from, like, back in the day. And I'd, like, and all of a sudden, ECW would come on, like, what? I think it was either, like, TV 56 or TV 64 or TV 38 at, like, midnight. And I'm, like, sitting there watching. I caught my first glimpse of, like, Bruiser Brody and Kevin Sullivan and all these guys. You know, my first glimpse of Gordon Soley. I mean, that's what I remember about Kevin Sullivan, you know. And, you know, some of the things that, you know, went on later on in life, you know, that whole kind of tie-in with Benoit and stuff like that, kind of sad, you know.
Yeah, yeah, kind of sad. A lot of stuff we'll never know now. Probably better off not just – I'll say – like I said, when I met him, nothing but cool, nothing bad to say. Experience was top notch with him. And, you know, I'm just glad I had a chance to meet him before, you know. But great, not to get off on a Kevin Sullivan tangent, but don't forget, one of Dusty's best feuds of all time was with Kevin Sullivan, the Golden Spike. pushed Blackjack Mulligan out of the way, so he took the spike. The best. Brought Billy Graham back into the fold in Florida. Had a resurgence of Billy Graham after the karate gimmick, where they tied him to the Tree of Woe 40 days and 40 nights in the desert to get purged from the evil of the Kevin Sullivan army. I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Good stuff. It's all on YouTube. There's a guy on there that's got 3 volumes of The Army of Darkness with Kevin Sullivan. Watch it. If you've never seen some of the stuff, badassery. A lot of these younger guys can learn a lot, that less is more. And it's not always about your character. It's about storytelling, and you can create good characters from that. So let's move on. Rest in peace, Kevin Sullivan. So Thomas, your turn. Time for some shitty picks with your USA gold medals.
Buy a shirt. Stop being so cheap. Buy the shirts. Come on.
Support the podcast. Buy a shirt, buy a hat. Stop being cheap.
Hey, look, and we even have mugs, too, for all these people in the North. Like, come on, you drink coffee all the time. Buy the mugs. Come on.
Right.
All right. Tom Shitty Picks is brought to you by Brock Street Brewing Company, located at 244 Brock Street South in Whitby, Ontario. Everything they brew is in-house, including their beers, seltzers, vodka sodas, and their hard iced teas. So if you're in the Whitby area, go check them out. And tell them the 1973 podcast sent you. All right, we're going to recap. As Andy said, a couple weeks ago, my pick was the Team USA to win the medal count, and that's like they're kicking ass there. They've up to the second. They've got 122 medals. China's in second with 90. The only thing, US and China, they're close in gold medals. China's got 39 gold so far. USA has 38. USA still has a few events tomorrow that they're in the gold medal match, so they should overtake them for that. So it should look pretty good there. Now, this week, I'm going to go back to baseball. I can start getting close to football. I'll be able to start doing some football fantasy, too. But for this week, I'm going to go with first baseman Freddie Freeman, and it's kind of a sentimental pick because he missed the last week and a half of from the All-Star game up until about 3 or 4 days ago. He left the team, took a personal leave. His 3-year-old son got diagnosed with a neurological disorder. I'm probably pronouncing this wrong, but Guillain-Barré syndrome. And he ended up in the hospital on a ventilator, and he actually lost all feeling. He was paralyzed for a few days. They had to vent him. He was at a great hospital in Los Angeles, and he's better now. He got out of the hospital 2 days ago. So he's on the right track, but Freddie Freeman said that the kid's only 3, and Freddie Freeman said that he's going to have to relearn how to walk right now because he was in pretty bad shape. But this week, Freddie Freeman since he's been back, he's been on a tear. He's played like four games, and he's got, I think, six hits in four games. He's got a seven-game week this week. He's playing four against Milwaukee and three against St. Louis. I think he's playing for his son right now. I'm going to go with Freddie Freeman.
Good pick, Thomas. Good pick. I like it. Good pick. So it's time for you guys to fill the void. Here's where I step back, take a little break, let you guys talk about that Bobby Boucher foosball. So what do you guys want to talk? NCAA, talk NFL? Let's go.
We'll go with that. We'll go with NFL because college really hasn't even started much with workouts, so there's not much news there. But first thing I want to ask Ed about is, what does he think about the Pats releasing Juju Smith-Schuster 2 days ago now? And so they're going to be eating $7 million because it was guaranteed money. And they're only saving themselves $647,000. So what do you think?
I just think, I mean, the sniff test was the other night on TV. They were so vanilla on TV. It's hard to make a decision on that. I think part of it is that it really is just a complete, just, you know, it's a total rebuild year. They look competitive. I mean, quite frankly, their twos and threes look better than the other twos and threes. You know, but I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, there's not a lot of talent left in the cupboards, if you will. You know, Judon is probably about the only really big name that they have right now on both sides of the ball. And I think it's a complete rebuild, and they could be, you know, it could be like what Parcells did back in the day. You know, it's a team of Jags, you know, just another guy right now. And like a lot of young talent. And, you know, and the thing about it is just like, I for myself personally, after living through, you know, the 80s with the Patriots, you know, where it was the, you know, that, I mean, there was a year that they went to the Super Bowl against the Bears and got killed. And
Tony Eason, gotta love it.
Hey, I mean, look, you know, the thing about it is just that, you know, there were other quarterbacks in that draft, and we chose Tony Eason. I mean, you know. Hey, you know, I'm sitting on a couch with white walls now, not divorce yellow. But still, that being said, you know, and he played in the National Football League. However, it's one of those things. And, you know, to have that 20-year run like the Patriots had, really 25 years, really, because it went the Parcells. And then they took a little bit of a dip with the Pete Carroll years, you know, with the whole Bobby Greer stuff going on then. And then, you know, Belichick and Brady came in. And, you know, it really – and to have that 25 years, hey, there's a point where there has to be a rebuild. And the greatest coach of all time and the greatest quarterback of all time, they leave your organization, there's going to be a void. So I can live what they're doing. You know, they're much smarter than I am. I'm on a couch. They're doing it for real. Robert's paying them real good money to do what they do. So, I mean, the thing about this is that maybe he was a cancer in the locker room, you know, and maybe he just wasn't a good team guy. And, why would you leave a Super Bowl team being the Chiefs? That's my question.
I just want to interject here for a minute, and I just want to say that, Ed, we're not going to generate any views with you being like that. If we want vanilla, that's what we got going solely for. We need you to be Captain Lou Albano. That's what we need. We don't need another – two Gordon Solis don't work. We need Captain Lou and Gordon Soli. Thomas, you got the market cornered. You are our true north. You bring it home. You got the stats. You're right in the middle.
You know, I mean, what do you want me to say? I mean, like, I can't say anything. That's
we don't need the guy. We don't need that guy on the coach. We don't need that guy on the coach.
You know, the cream rises to the top. I can't make it the garbage one.
We're here to generate views, Ed. Just think about that.
I mean, you do realize that I have a thunderstorm going on after you said that, right? You know?
As long as you don't have pants on, at least we're there.
I have a matter of fact, I have a pair of Brooks running shorts on, actually, and they're quite comfy, thanks.
There you go. Finish your foosball talk.
My next question is with the what's your opinion on Brandon Ayuk? I guess he kind of put the kibosh on the trade to both Cleveland and the Patriots. He doesn't want to play for them. I guess both teams had deals worked out with the 49ers, so they gave both teams permission to start talking contract with Ayuk, and I guess he basically told them he didn't come out and say he didn't want to play for them, but I guess his contract demands were to the point where he was telling them he didn't want to play with them. And I guess he wants somewhere in the $30 to $35 million a year range. So that's when the Patriots backed out anyway.
Called out, I'm going to start off by saying this. Stop being a bitch and come on, okay? I'll just start off by saying that, all right?
Now,
I will say this. Why are you being a problem on a team like the 49ers?
Oh.
Why? Why are you being a problem? You have gone to two Super Bowls. What is your problem? Shut up. Like you're getting paid. Like you're telling me that you can't work a deal with the front office with like Procter and Gamble for a Tide commercial, and you're telling me that you can't like make a deal for Bounty sheets or something like that. You're telling me that you can't go out and you can't make a deal with Brawny paper towels or something to give this guy a deal to keep him on your team. Come on, bro. I mean, you have a whole valley of wine that you could invite this guy to your winery. And, like, he could hand-sell your wine. I mean, come on, man. Like, there's many options that you can get this guy paid. Now, the thing about it is, in my personal opinion, like, to go off of what Andy said a few weeks ago, these contracts are getting ridiculous. They are ridiculous. You're paying these guys too much guaranteed money, and they don't show up. And so, you know, the bottom line is, it's like, stop paying these guys so much money. But the thing is,
Sorry, go ahead.
I mean, look at your team. I mean, they're up 14-7 against the 49ers right now. You know,
with guaranteed money, I want to ask you about CeeDee Lamb's holdout with the 49ers. I mean, with the Cowboys right now. He's still under contract. He's got 1 year left, and he's getting $17.9 million for this year, but he's holding out because he wants somewhere in the $30 million range.
Well, the thing is that since the resident Cowboy fan is not here tonight, I'll answer for him. How's that?
Two of them. Don't forget, two of them.
That's true. There's two of them. That's two. Yep. Dose. Bottom line is this. I love Jerry Jones' answer. I loved it. I'm not in any rush. Because he's under contract.
Yeah.
And the thing is like you're telling me the man that has connections with Pepsi and AT&T that you can't get this man look, bro, just show up to camp. We'll make something happen for you, okay? Come on. Like for anybody that doesn't think that Jerry doesn't know what he's doing, Jerry knows exactly what he's doing. I'll tell you this, I'd go work for the man tomorrow, and here's why. Because the man took all of his money and pushed it to the center of the table when he bought the Cowboys. And said, that's all I got. And I hope these checks cash for the players on Monday because I don't know if they're going to. And it's the most profitable and the most expensive franchise out there right now. So, like, dude, these guys are asking for – they're changing the rules to keep you safer. I'd like to see some of this money make it down to, like, the guys that don't make it the 3 or 4 – the 4 years to get vested into the pension. That's what I'd like to see.
Cowboys have an interesting offseason coming up next year because they've got CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons, and Dak, all free agents. So
I'm going to tell you this right now. Dak can go bye-bye. Bye.
You can get rid of him, but who are you going to – you got to have somebody to bat to take his place. Now, they do have Trey Lance.
There's got to be somebody in college right now that's you got to have somebody. Well, the thing is – funny thing is, you know, Justin Fields will be available.
Now, you know, go ahead.
No, the thing about it is just like, I mean, because the thing is that, I mean, the Steelers gave up a ton. Well, they didn't give up a ton. They really wanted to get Russell Wilson, okay? And for a six-rounder, I mean, yeah, we'll give you a six-rounder for Justin Fields. Hell yeah. I mean, that's a no-brainer. The guy who's won in the NFL. You know, And maybe he needed to go into a culture like Pittsburgh and like calm him down a little bit. And the thing is, it's like if he goes to, if Justin Fields goes to Dallas and Mike McCarthy's there, not a bad thing. Mike McCarthy knows how to deal with quarterbacks. Well, and if Mike McCarthy gets fired, Belichick or Deion Sanders is going to be there.
My last football thing, I don't know if you saw any of the rookies' quarterbacks so far, but what do you think of Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy, and Michael Penix, how they start? I mean, you didn't see a lot of what they could do, but J.J. McCarthy, I mean, granted, he was playing against twos and threes, but threw two touchdowns. He had, like, almost 200 yards passing.
Did he? I didn't see it. I didn't. I haven't really watched very much football this week. I've been kind of incapacitated this week. I've been. I've put
Thanks,
a lot
Debbie.
Of. I put a lot of wah, show time wah. In this week.
You yeah, know, JJ McCarthy had the big game today.
Did he?
Yeah.
I've spent a lot. Let's just say I've driven the panhandle quite a bit this week.
And. Jaden Daniels had a pretty good start too. He only played one series, but he had 45 yards passing and running the ball. He did really well. He actually scored a rushing touchdown. So that's all I got for football, Lexi.
Well, I'm just going to circle back, Tom, and I'm going to ask you this. How do you feel about having rookies play in the NFL? Because typically when rookies play, they get their ass kicked and they throw a ton of interceptions and it breaks their confidence down. One exception to that rule is Peyton Manning. How do you
I'd
feel about
him.
That?
I mean, I would absolutely throw him out there and play him trial by fire. I mean, look at Troy Aikman. The guy took an absolute beating when he played with with Cowboys for a few years before they actually built the team around him good enough where they became a dynasty. And by that time, he had his game under. I mean, he knew what to expect. He wasn't afraid to get hit. Like, talk about the Pats, I'd throw Drake May out there. I mean, he only played one series in the game. To me, if you're going to waste a first-round pick on a quarterback, play him. See, I'm all in. Let's play and see what they can do.
Well, I mean, I'm going to go back. I'm going to counter your point on that, on him. All the film that you've watched about him and everything like that is that he really needs a year to learn. And the thing about it is that if you watch when they're on draft day and Belichick wasn't ripping him. He was actually saying it's like he's going to work on these things because in the NFL, you need to do that. And the thing is, I think with him, he needs to sit a little bit because he played plenty of games when he was in North Carolina. He's got plenty of – he took plenty of snaps, you know.
Go ahead.
I think that some guys, if they played a lot in college, taking a year to sit – isn't a bad thing in the NFL. I mean, think about this, and I think I've used this analogy before. Like when you play college football, and this is coming straight from college football coaches. This isn't Ed on the couch, you know, in Divorce Yellow anymore. This is real. Like when you in NCAA, when you throw the football, you're throwing it through a window that's open, and that window stays open when you throw the ball. In the NFL, when you throw that football, you're throwing it through a window that's opening and closing. Because you're getting the best of the best. And so, like, the thing about it is it's not a bad thing to actually have him sit in the film room and actually learn from what he's seeing. The NFL game is a very different game because everybody's the best at their position. You know, it's just like when we used to go out back in the day to Lupo's or whatever, to the Strand, and we'd be driving in the car and be like, ah, this guy sucks. And we're like, dude, we're driving in the car to go to Lupo's. We're going to the Strand for dollar beers. I mean, come on now. You know what I mean?
only before 10. If you can get there before 10.
That's right.
So
I would normally agree with you, Ed, but the Jacoby Brissett, there's a reason he's been a backup his whole career. If you had a better quarterback than Drake May, I would say throw him in there and let May sit. But to me, May's already better than Brissett.
Well, but my thing is to say he's an older quarterback, and he's a professional. He's going to teach him how to be a professional quarterback, and that's invaluable to a rookie.
AC.
Cream rises to the top, Thomas.
All right, so let me add to this football talk. It's more of a rant, okay? So I am a huge, since day one, none of these fly-by-nighters, Sega Genesis, NHL 1992, the very first one, bought it, bought the system to play it. Been a fan ever since. Couple, lot of stinky years. Well, bear with me on this rant. NCAA college football comes out after not being a product for a number of years. So they bring it back out. There's a downloading tab on there where you can download on this game all the high school rosters in the entire country on the fucking NHL 24, 23, 22. I can't even get a fucking goalie mask edit on that. I can't customize a fucking goalie mask. But on the hockey, on the college football, you can download.
That's copyrighted by Killer Industries and by Podcast 1973.
It's freaking garbage. You mean to tell me you get the technology to go download any high school in the entire U.S. of A, but you cannot create a tab to edit a team goalie mask that you've used the same goalie mask since like 2002. Every year you change goalies, new goalies come on. You're playing with the same mask with Sorokin, Henrik Lundqvist, Mike Richter, the same Rangers goalie mask since like the early 2000s. Come on, EA. Drop some technology with the hockey and let's fucking go. So there's my rant for the day. That pisses me off.
Grinds my gears.
Grinds my gears.
So, speaking of gear grinding, Ed, we have no email this week.
That's correct.
So we usually drop in an interview that we've done. So let's talk about our sponsor, Goongod, and then we'll talk about the interview we did this week. Take it away, Edwin.
Check them out. Goongod, goongod.com. Check them out. Best mouthpiece around. There's two in the bag. It's great. Best mouthpieces.
Right new there. Stuff. Well, let me pause you right there. New stuff coming soon from Goongod. We'll talk about it when it happens, but new stuff on the horizon with them. So, Ed, talk about this very nice interview that the three of us were able to sit in with this week. The floor is yours, Edwin.
Well, I'd like to introduce my friend, my former colleague at the Running Store, Adele Bonifant Lassus. See, nailed it on the first time, man. Check that out, huh? Huh? Right in the chin, huh? Right in the chin. You know, because the cream rises to the top, baby. Anyway, she's a great friend of mine. She's wonderful. She did a great interview with us. She is looking to start her kind of coaching towards the athletic business, that type of thing. She's a wonderful woman. She has done quite a few marathons. She has done a ton of half marathons. She's an incredible swimmer and overall just a wonderful person. I'm very, very lucky to call her as a friend and a personal confidant of mine. And I can never thank her enough for everything that she's ever done for me. And she's just a wonderful person and a wonderful woman. And we're going to probably drop her in right about here.
So, friend of the show, I'd like to say she's going forward. I see her on, you know, the Facebook page, liking, subscribing, doing all that stuff. She gained points with me. I'll tell you where she gained points with me. When she knew, being from the Mid-South area, when she knew who the Junkyard Dog was, when he was the Junkyard Dog. So, Adele, points for the JYD from you to me. So we're going to, I guess, that's it this week. We're going to do a quick shout-out and call it a night, fellas. I got a lot of editing to do and a lot more hockey to attend. Grinding it out. We're grinding. Got the new jersey in back of me. Thomas loves it. That's this tournament jersey. Boston Lady Whalers in the playoffs tomorrow. Got shit to do. So, I don't know. Does that count as my shout-out? I don't know. Maybe. Could be. Possibly. But it could be a shout-out, right? Maybe. You know, look at...
It's the benefit of being your show. You can do what you want.
There's some say. Some say. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it, though, Thomas, to be honest. Sometimes it doesn't feel like I can do what I want. Sometimes I feel like I'm shackled. You know, like I should be, you know, singing some old song from the South something like that. Some kind of something. So, Ed, how about a shout out this week? Make it good.
Well, first and foremost, I'd like to shout out to Adele. Adele, thanks for coming on the show. We love to have you. It was wonderful. We're going to definitely have you back. It was wonderful. And I hope our listeners check her out. She's on Facebook. Hit her up. She is wonderful working with, especially young athletes and that type of thing. She will make you want to feel like you want to go through a stone wall. And she's wonderful. Second thing, stayed in Tallahassee this past weekend. Went through the campus of Florida State, especially going to I'm a small school guy. And to go to that place.
Like it a was, special school kind of guy.
Well, you know, I didn't ride on the small bus. So, you know, anyway, went to Florida State this past week, walked around. What a beautiful campus. And the stadium is just massive. And they're doing some wonderful improvements. And it's just a beautiful campus. And everybody around the campus was very friendly. And to see the guys coming in from workouts, like if you don't realize how big people are and these guys are in the SEC, until you see them without pads on, with just cleats on, these dudes are big dudes, man. And they're getting after it. So, you know, ACC, SEC, there's some big boys down there.
You weren't hanging around the shallows, though, Ed.
No, I was actually outside, thank you.
Okay, all right. So we have to disclaim that. We have to 100% transparency, just in case somebody says there's video, somebody was hanging around. Okay.
Yeah, I don't roll that way.
Okay, we don't need content for the show like that, Ed.
Nope.
As usual, true north, here we go. The professor is going to close us out this week. Thomas, make it good.
All right, I got a shout out for my niece, Taylor. She's been under the weather, and turns out she had to have her gallbladder removed yesterday, so she's going to be on the mend for a couple weeks. Feel better, kid.
That's it. That's all we got.
That's it.
All right. That's all I got. So, another episode, another week. You never know who's going to show up week to week. A lot of ins and outs. Football season's coming. Got a lot of special guests. Probably going to bring back a couple of people during football season and have at it. Let them get in the mix with some picks. And, you know, we're going back to what we do. So, from us to you, buy some shit. Like and subscribe. What all these kids are saying doesn't. You don't have to sell that stuff. Just buy some stuff. Support your boys. Get out there. Wear some
buy a mug. Buy a t-shirt. Buy the book. I mean, buy something. Come on.
Buy an apron so you can feel like Chris. You might be able to cook like Chris if you buy an apron. We got that. We got Tom Shitty Picks, dog bandanas. Buy some stuff. And if you buy something, post it on the page. We'd love to see it. That's what I want to see. I want to see our fans buying stuff, supporting the podcast. We'll put you on the podcast. We'll put you on the show. It's like a love fest. Join the army. It's like the old Kiss army. We'll send you the fan club stuff. We'll make you member number one's taken. It's already taken. Darren's got that all wrapped up. It's from two on. So be a member. Buy some stuff. Show your support. Show it around the rink. Show it around the schools. Show it around wherever. The workplace, even better in the workplace. I'd love that. That's great. So from us to you, we're out.
See ya. Yeah.